Bulls down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
CannabisRadio.com presents The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Hey, this is great, man. Well, on the
earth. Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
All right, good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Monday, May 16, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. And oh my God, I am back in the captain's chair here at beautiful Rolla J Studios in legal Potland, Oregon. I last sat here, what was it, April 11th, April 12th, something like that. I've been away from Portland for over a month, traveling all across the Eastern Seaboard, Baltimore, New York City, made my way to Columbia, South Carolina, Anderson, South Carolina, Atlanta, Georgia, Athens, Georgia, Miami, Florida, Fort Worth, Texas, and I just returned, Orlando, Florida, and then just returned just a couple hours ago, actually an hour and a half ago, just returned from Anchorage, Alaska, where I had a great time at the Northwest Cannabis Classic. And today's show is going to be my reminiscing of the Northwest Cannabis Classic. I've got some recordings, and folks, I tell you, we're doing it live. These are going to be as raw as possible because I didn't even get a chance to edit any of these things. I have no idea what I've got on the recordings here, but you know me, we're going to do it live. We're going to do a show for you. We're going to give you some interesting highlights from Alaska. And in hour two, we'll bring you my presentation at the Northwest Cannabis Classic. Took place yesterday afternoon. My presentation on marijuana and your civil liberties, just emphasizing how we got into this mess, what crazy twists and turns our country had to take in order to ban cannabis in the first place, and of course, how it affects all of our civil liberties. So that presentation coming up in hour two for Toker Talk Radio will play the entire clip. It's an hour long, so enjoy that. Also coming up on the show today, it is Monday, so that means it's time to get our regular dose of cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. We've got all sorts of interesting studies to talk to Dr. Mitch about today, including a new study on cannabis and the pregnancy and women's women's use of cannabis during pregnancy and how that might affect their children, might affect childbirth, and so on. Another study that purports that heavy cannabis use in youth as a teen could lead to early death by the age of 60, which I'll have to ask Dr. Mitch why some of my older stoner friends are still alive, but we'll debunk that. Plus the big news from last week, and we'll talk to Dr. Mitch about this, was that AAA, the auto club, their study saying that there's no magic number for determining marijuana intoxication. We've also got a look at marijuana as a treatment for opiate addiction, something that the state of Maine has taken a look at, and now Massachusetts is also looking at. And interestingly, allergies to marijuana. Yes, people can actually be allergic to marijuana. We'll get the whys and wherefores from Dr. Mitch, as well as a look at that statistics for coming out of Colorado, where teen marijuana arrests have skyrocketed amongst minorities, and just what we didn't want to see happen after legalization. All that coming up here on the Russ Belville Show. Toward the end, we'll have more of those recordings from the Northwest Cannabis Classic as well. I'm still trying to get my bearings because I tell you, Anchorage, Alaska, it was like 70 degrees and sunny the whole time I was there. And when I mean sunny, it's like 20 hours a day sunny. Like the sun starts coming up around 4:30 in the morning, goes down about 11:30 at night. So my jet lag is crazy right now. I came from Orlando to that, and now I'm back in Portland where it's, once again, mid-50s, rainy, and gray. I love traveling. Don't let me fool you. I'm Radical Russ back in Portland. We'll return with the Cannabis Radio News right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Dr. Dabber, hurry. Its temperature is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
CannabisRadio.com keeps you in the know Monday through Friday on air and on demand with Cannabis Radio News. Presented with the definitive worldwide news source, the Associated Press. Stay informed with exclusive news on all things cannabis. Cannabis Radio News, live weeknights at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific, during the Russ Belville Show, or download the daily podcast exclusively on CannabisRadio.com, as well as iTunes, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. When breaking news happens in the cannabis industry, Cannabis Radio News delivers the details first.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
It's time for the Cannabis Radio News. Covering the latest headlines in consumer cannabis, medical marijuana, and industrial hemp. Cannabis Radio News is now available exclusively at CannabisRadio.com. Now your marijuana headlines in 4 minutes and 20 seconds. This is Cannabis Radio News.
This is your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, May 16th, 2016. San Juan, Puerto Rico, from Breitbart News. Democratic Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders takes his political revolution to Puerto Rico, promising in Spanish to legalize marijuana if elected president. One person asked in Spanish, "Would you legalize marijuana?" before repeating the question in English. "Sí," said Senator Sanders, and joked, quote, "You see, my Spanish is good enough to know that word," end quote. He said he thinks it's unfair that so many people have drug crimes on their record, making it harder for them to get jobs. Sanders cited congressional legislation he introduced that would take marijuana off of the list of substances under the Federal Controlled Substance Act, saying, quote, "We've got marijuana and heroin together. That's pretty crazy to my mind," end quote. Ottawa, Canada, from Science Daily. The Canadian government's plan to legalize marijuana contravenes its current legal obligations to the United Nations International Drug Control Conventions, states a commentary in the Canadian Medical Association Journal. Quote, "The federal government should immediately take proactive steps to seek a reservation to the marijuana provisions of these treaties and/or to initiate their renegotiation in light of its legalization plans," end quote, write Dr. Stephen Hoffman and Ms. Rujine Habibi, both with the Global Strategy Lab at the University of Ottawa's Center for Health Law, Policy, and Ethics, including, quote, "If these diplomatic efforts fail, Canada must formally withdraw from these treaties to avoid undermining international law and compromising its global position," end quote. Three legally binding international treaties control or prohibit access to various drugs around the world, including marijuana. Other jurisdictions, such as Colorado and Washington in the United States and Uruguay, have legalized marijuana and violate current UN conventions. Baltimore, Maryland, from the New York Times. Baltimore Ravens offensive tackle Eugene Monroe has stepped forward and called upon the NFL to stop testing players for marijuana so he and other players can take the medical version of the drug to treat their chronic pain and avoid the addictive opioids that teams regularly dispense. Retired football players such as Kyle Turley and Ricky Williams have promoted the benefits of marijuana and called for the league to acknowledge those benefits. Monroe, though, may be one of the first to openly urge the league to stop testing for the drug, possibly risking the wrath of owners, league officials, and other players. Last week, Monroe said he had given $80,000 to Realm of Caring, a Colorado-based advocacy group that is working with the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine to study the impact of medical marijuana on traumatic brain injury and chronic traumatic encephalopathy, a degenerative brain disease linked to repeated hits to the head. Monroe also started a website about the use of marijuana for pain management. Redmond, Oregon. Last year, Lindsay Pate and her husband Christopher bought 15 acres of high desert coveted junipers in central Oregon, where they plan to grow marijuana in greenhouses to sell for recreational use. In December, however, Deschutes County banned recreational marijuana businesses in unincorporated areas, including the Pate's land. Underscoring the shifting tides Oregon is experiencing even after voters legalized marijuana in 2014, the county's commissioners, after holding public meetings and hearing from several groups, decided Wednesday to allow marijuana cultivation, processing, and sales. In another sign of the shifting tides over Oregon marijuana legalization, voters in Grant County in conservative eastern Oregon and Klamath County in the south will decide in Oregon's primary election on Tuesday whether to repeal their county's bans after marijuana advocates collected enough signatures. New York, New York, from Mediaite. Some of the good folks over at USA Today apparently got their pie charts, colorful maps, and states all confused this weekend during a story about the marijuana smuggling efforts out of Colorado. Instead of correctly identifying where on the map Colorado was located, USA Today instead put the emphasis on Wyoming, the centennial state's neighbor to the north. Twitter predictably had a field day with the mishap, with many wondering aloud whether some of the good Colorado bud made its way to the USA Today offices. This has been your Cannabis Radio News for Monday, May 16th, 2016. I'm Russ Belville.
Great websites today need expert web design and development, and need to be e-commerce ready and mobile friendly. But building a marketable and profitable website can be an uphill climb. Ready to make your new website or replace your existing website? Think Orange as the new way to get in the black. Orange Hill Development works with Fortune 500 companies and offer the same top quality development service at a fraction of what other providers charge. Brands like Absolute, Carlsberg, and Nestlé trust Orange Hill Development. Find out why you should trust your website with Orange Hill. Contact Orange Hill for a consultation today at orangehilldevelopment.com.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
I do not like them, Sam. I am. I do not like green eggs and ham.
Okay. Maybe you're high, too.
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson. Alcohol prohibition didn't work in the 1920s, and marijuana prohibition isn't working today. It's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORML, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
Don't want to spend money on a night out, but don't know what to do other than watching TV or playing video games? Consider playing guitar, bass, banjo, or mandolin. The instrument will give you hours of entertainment with friends with minimal expense. Stop by the Fingerboard Extension downtown Corvallis at 120 Northwest 2nd Street today, or check out its inventory on the web at fingerboardextension.com.
The world of cannabis is evolving at a frenetic pace. The Russ Belville Show gets behind the headlines to take a deeper look at breaking news in our Cannabis Focus.
Welcome back, everybody. In the Cannabis Focus today, we're going to be taking a look at the Northwest Cannabis Classic that took place in Anchorage, Alaska. And I was just about ready to play some of this for you when we didn't have any sound coming out. Let's see if we can make this work. Still not working. Okay. This would be just my luck that I would try this live and it's not going to go and play for me. So I will have to find another way to make this work for us as we continue this day here. Well, let me just, I'll talk a little bit about the Cannabis Classic. It was a really exciting event. We had, it's a smaller event because we are talking about Anchorage, Alaska, which is a town of about 300,000 and a very sparse rural state that Alaska is. One of my favorite moments, though, was I got a chance to meet a reality television star. His name is Chip Hailstone. That's right. The guy's name is Chip Hailstone. You'd think he'd be a weatherman in Los Angeles or something, but no, his name's Chip Hailstone and his wife's name's Agnes, and they are the stars of Nat Geo's Life Below Zero, which is this reality TV show about them and their family. They got seven kids, and they are subsistence hunters north of the Arctic Circle, which basically means they just live off the land up there in the Great White North, Life Below Zero. And so they hunt caribou and other animals and live off the hunting and live off the fishing that they do. I can't even imagine that sort of lifestyle, but they've been at it for years, and the show has been on for 4 years now. I guess they're into their getting into their fourth season coming up here. So looking forward to hearing more about that from Life Below Zero. I think it's on Nat Geo. Also got to meet a fellow by the name of Dave. And, you know, Dave's not here, but I actually met Dave. He was there. Dave is the breeder grower behind Alaska's second native strain. At least that's what he tells me. Now, the first native strain in Alaska would, of course, be the famous Alaskan Thunderfuck. And we talked a little bit about the Alaskan Thunderfuck and the Matanuska Thunderfuck and what the Thunderfuck is going on up in there in Alaska. His strain is one that's called Arctic Blue. And the inaugural copy of Alaska Leaf, just like Oregon Leaf and Northwest Leaf, big, you know, glossy, full-page bud photo kind of magazine, the inaugural copy of Alaska Leaf features his Arctic Blue. So I can tell you, I got a chance to enjoy Arctic Blue throughout the time up there at potluck events. I'll talk a little bit about potluck events too, but got to enjoy plenty of Arctic Blue, both as flower and as dab. Also managed to have it, you know, as a joint and as a bowl. So every different way. And it's a very nice heady strain. Good taste to it. Really enjoyed it. Big thanks to Dave for setting me up with it. And of course, yes, we were at the Potluck Event Center, which is Alaska's 420 headquarters. Their address is perfect. Their address is at 420 West 3rd Avenue. That's their actual address, 420 West 3rd Avenue in Anchorage, Alaska. They open up at 6 o'clock in the evening, and they're a private club with memberships that you can buy a daily membership or you can buy monthly memberships. And it's bring your own cannabis. They don't dispense any cannabis, but what they do dispense is free candy. They go like to Shopko or Costco or whatever, and they get the bulk candy, and they fill up the jars. So they got M&Ms and Reese's Pieces and gummy bears and all sorts of good stuff behind the bar where you'd find the liquor bottles. And you could just have shots of candy while you're sitting there, you know, smoking your weed. And then they got stuff to drink too. They got, you know, energy drinks, and they got sodas, and then they got Italian sodas that they'll mix up for you. You can buy those kind of things and help keep the place afloat. And best of all, just very luxurious seating. Big, comfy, easy chairs to sit in and big, comfy couches, lots of tables, lots of space for everyone, games if people want to play games. They've got a game room in the back, you know, big screen TV. They were playing some fight game there when I was there, and a great atmosphere. And what's been interesting about this is how Alaska is kind of so far ahead of the states in the lower 48 that have legalized, far ahead of Washington, Oregon, and Colorado. You know, Washington made that stuff a felony. You can't have a cannabis club. And they had good cannabis clubs. I was at Frankie's in Olympia when that club was open. It was a bar that was a two-story bar. And on the bottom floor, they still had alcohol going. And on the top floor, it was marijuana going. And everything was fine. They had shuffleboard and pool tables and pinball machines and people smoking weed. And it's just hard for me to comprehend why Washington had to felonize that, why Oregon went out of its way to put them out of business with Clean Air Act violations, why Colorado's still fighting for it. Denver Normal's got their social use initiative that they're working on. But this should just be obvious. If people have a right to smoke weed, they ought to have a place to be able to do so with other people. That just seems to be a fundamental part of the liberty that you get when you legalize a substance.
One wife, one God, that I can understand, but one wife that is not civilized.
All right, we got to take ourselves a break, figure out what I can do to get these audio to play for us. Don't you worry, I'll get it figured out. We'll have some highlights from Anchorage, Alaska when we come back.
Ganjapreneur.com, your guide to the cannabis business world. Ganjapreneur.com is a comprehensive resource for cannabis professionals and entrepreneurs. Download the Ganjapreneur app on your smartphone or tablet to catch up on cannabis industry news, scroll through our daily job listings, and learn about successful cannabis companies, executives, and investors. Ganjapreneur.com, helping Ganjapreneurs grow.
The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com.
Cannabis Confidential with Dr. Dina. Candid.
I want to give you the inside story.
Captivating.
I want to introduce you to my kind and amazingly talented friends.
Compelling.
We get to meet some of the most amazing cannabis activists and warriors around.
Listen in as medical marijuana pioneer Dr. Dina shares never-before-heard stories, chats with cannabis insiders and celebrity friends, and provides invaluable perspective and insight into one of the fastest-growing industries in the world.
I want to share with you what was once confidential information. Let's expose the truth, discuss the issues, and learn the facts.
Cannabis Confidential, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Coming soon to a city near you, Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. Get all your cannabis accounting, legal, and compliance questions answered by their knowledgeable panel of industry experts who want to help your cannabis business boom. Whether you're a grower, dispensary operator, or a newcomer to the field, your cannabis business needs Cannabis Finance Bootcamp. For information on upcoming events, visit CannabisFinanceBootcamp.com.
Promoting the end of adult cannabis prohibition is easy because we have facts, science, reason, compassion, evidence, truth, and logic on our side. It's even easier when researchers catalog it all for us. Learn how to gather the facts on marijuana use, arrests, seizures, rehabs, drug tests, and more on this edition of Drug War Data Mining.
I'm doing pretty well myself.
It's great to be back here in Alaska. Tell folks what Enlighten Alaska is all about.
Enlighten Alaska is a family-owned small retail cannabis store. We plan to open in the fall of 2016. We'll have a variety of Alaska products, and we're really excited to start getting involved in the marijuana industry in Alaska.
What's it like been trying to get all the applications and licenses put together?
Well, to be honest, it's been a challenge. For a variety of reasons. The regulations were just established in February, so just trying to sift through and make sure we have all of our ducks in a row, all of our T's crossed, our I's dotted. There are a lot of details that we're having to work through. Other than, you know, working with the state and the municipality on figuring all that stuff out, it's been pretty cool. It's been fun, you know, just planning, designing our shop, figuring out, working with vendors or potential vendors to bring product into our store in the fall, and it's sort of living the dream, our dream of being just a small family that is very We're advocates for national legalization of marijuana. So this is our way of supporting that movement and getting involved in the social change and getting people excited about the industry in Alaska.
Is this your first foray into any sort of retail operation?
Yes, it is.
So in addition to going through a brand new industry, it's just brand new to you anyway doing retail.
Well, the retail aspect, yes. I'm partners with my family, so my brother and my mom. And my mom, she's run her own business. I've worked in the oil and gas industry. I've definitely been sort of the budget person in a lot of other positions in other places that I've worked. So we definitely have the capacity to handle the business side of it.
What's cannabis legalization mean to you? How is this a personal issue for you?
It is. I have a lot of friends that utilize cannabis medicinally. We provide the medicine for them, and it radically changed their life. When I saw that, and I recognized that the quality cannabis that we are producing and providing for them is quite literally changing their life, that's meaningful to me. My grandmother, she was diagnosed with glioblastoma, that's brain cancer, and I think that cannabis could have helped her. And if it were legal in Alaska, which it now is, I think that those people that are affected or afflicted with certain conditions, it can really be beneficial and help them. And I'm also an advocate for people that just want to, you know, as an alternative to alcohol. They want to come home and they don't necessarily drink or they don't want that glass of wine. Maybe they have a toke or, you know, have a little bit of a smoke and relax, and that's great too.
Thank you so much, Leah. And tell folks if they want to get in touch with Enlighten Alaska or where your locations will be, any of that contact info.
All right. Well, we're located at 2600 Spinard Road in Anchorage, Alaska. And you can contact us via our website, www.enlightenak.com. And we hope to see people come in at fall of 2016.
All right. Thank you so much, Leah. Have a great show.
Thanks, Russ.
Radical Russ here at the Northwest Cannabis Classic and Expo, and I've come upon Swamp Donkey Seeds and what looks to be a 15-foot long vapor bag being consumed here.
Are you ended up over here at Swamp Donkey Seeds?
Yes, we are.
Northwest Cannabis Classic 2016.
All right,
tell about Swamp Donkey Seeds. Swamp Donkey Seeds, well, we're an organization. We're made up of two veterans with PTSD. What we're trying to do is we're trying to improve the genetics and the quality of life for veterans with PTSD, and also improve the quality of genetics throughout the nationwide cannabis industry as we break into that market. But right now, we're just entering strains and trying to win competitions, doing genetic testing on our gear to make sure that we have the best of the best that we can have before it reaches the people. We're going to be doing a raffle today. I'm going to raffle off some hot sauce, some of the jelly from another competition, and a few seeds. And I'm going to keep this 10-foot vaporizer bag going all day long. So it's going to be a party.
What are some of the strains in the hot sauce? Tell us about what you got here.
Oh, well, what I got here, I haven't got it all labeled yet, but I've got my ATF that I won best sativa with last year. I've got Golden Ticket it's Mr. Dank's Golden Ticket, and that's Golden Goat by Face Off OG. I've got Golden Goat. I've also got White Dog, some Roadkill Skunk, some Leroy. I think on the table there we've also got Blood Orange. What else did you bring?
Chernobyl Slimer Cut.
And we got Chernobyl Slimer Cut.
Wow.
Yeah, we're coming to the table with the best of the best that we can source.
And the hot sauce is here?
And the hot sauce. This is a homemade hot sauce that I made and put together. It's made out of some different green chilies and it's got some hash in it. Well, lots of hash in it. And and it's also got It's a garlic in it, fermented for a little while, and bottled, preserved, and made with love, man.
So tell people how to get in touch with Swamp Donkey Seeds.
If you're wanting to get a hold of us right now, the best way is going to be through our Instagram, which is at Swamp Donkey Seeds. And we can respond private messages from there. If not, I think we're working on a website, www.swampdonkeyseeds.com, but we haven't plugged all the ends in for that yet.
All right, well, I'll let you get back to filling this bag because it's almost out here. You're a pretty popular booth.
Oh, yeah, I bet. Hey, man, thanks a lot for the interview. Have a great day.
Look at your card.
All right.
Some raw audio from the Northwest Cannabis Classic there in Alaska. And that did change throughout the day. There were three officers from the Anchorage Police Department who were strolling about the booths. So a lot of the planned giveaways and smokeouts and such had to be tempered a little bit. But everybody seemed to be enjoying themselves. They seemed to find a way, like we always seem to do. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, we've got Dr. Mitch Earlywine on the line for our Cannabis Q&A. Get your questions ready in our chat room or dial us live at 971-533-7111. We're back in 2 minutes.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The next generation of vaporizers has arrived. Vuber vaporizers are blazing the way with unparalleled technology for oil, concentrate, or dry flower pens. Providing unsurpassed customer service and expert craftsmanship, Vuber vaporizers use cutting-edge technology, providing a power-packed, smoother vapor with a lifetime guarantee. Experience vaporizing the way it was meant to be. The Vuber way.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
It's time for Cannabis Facts About Alzheimer's from Robert Platschorn's thesilvertour.org. This message is supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com. A new Florida study in the journal Molecular and Cellular Neuroscience found that cannabis promotes the growth of healthy new brain tissue. It can slow the effects of Alzheimer's and may, in fact, be able to halt it entirely. A long-term study by Ohio State University's Professor Gary Wenk concludes that people who regularly use marijuana get Alzheimer's at a much lower rate than others. This was Cannabis Facts from thesilvertour.org, an educational nonprofit supported by our donors and Hemp Inc., a public company poised to lead America's hemp revolution at hempinc.com.
With over 6 years of experience in the industry, New Era CPAs is one of the nation's leading cannabis accounting firms, helping hundreds of growers, dispensaries, and ancillary companies with their tax, legal, and business strategies. New Era CPAs offices cover the West Coast from Seattle to San Diego, and their skilled team is always available to help you take your business to the next level. Visit NewEraCPAs.com for more info and set up a consultation. Welcome to the New Era.
It's time for the Russ Belville Show's Cannabis Q&A with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York at Albany and a leading author and researcher on cannabinoids and health, who pins the Ask Dr. Mitch column for High Times magazine. Get your questions ready in our live chat or call in to 971-533-7111 now.
Welcome back, everyone, and welcome back to Dr. Mitch Earlywine to the program. Hi, Dr. Mitch.
Pleasure to be back.
And don't forget that Dr. Mitch is the host of Burning Issues here on the Cannabis Radio Network. What are the latest burning issues, Dr. Mitch?
Oh, in fact, tomorrow we're going to record a new one with Art Benavi about basically the perils of the drug war and why it's such a waste of resources.
All right. Well, folks,
And Guy O'Belum's up right now, and he's the cannabis comic and a real delight.
Yeah, you got to listen to the Ngayo show. It's a really good one. I was checking that out while I was flying around the country these past couple of weeks. And Dr. Mitch, we've got people that are eager to get some questions answered before we even get to the studies. So let's get right to it. Jackie in our chat room was following up on something I saw in the news and wanted to ask you about. Her question is, she read something online about cannabis arteritis leading to the effect of on blood vessels leading to amputations. Someone else said they've heard of cannabinoid thrombosis, peripheral ischemia, and stroke caused by cannabis. Have you heard of any of this? I think it was one of the UK papers that I'd read that in.
In fact, I'm afraid this is an exaggeration a little bit, but we do see any kind of smoked substance creating some capillary constriction, and then, of course, that's never particularly good for our heart, and because cannabis tends to lead to tachycardia, an increase in heart rate, you'd think, oh, this is going to make for some uncomfortable increases in blood pressure. But we've got a wild effect of THC where blood pressure is actually lowered. So I don't think this is as big a concern as the media is pretending. And in fact, when you think about how many people have either thrombosis or some cardiovascular disorder, how many people smoke cannabis, just by chance, we would expect markedly more folks than the number who've shown up in these case studies. So I think this is just a little bit of reefer madness.
What? From the British media? Say it ain't so.
Hard to believe that the Brits would make cannabis sound worse than it is. Yes.
We got another question from Michael Hughes referencing one of the topics I wanted to bring up, and that was the study from AAA, the audio club, saying that there's really no magic number for finding when someone is too impaired to drive. And Michael's question to that angle is, the study seems to promote Oregon's DUI model, the idea of a P-test and a DRE. Is that a better testing model than active nanograms in the blood?
I feel like, in fact, there is a better way, and that's the roadside sobriety tests that require some kind of behavioral measure. So we know damn good and well that plenty of us are at 5 nanograms per milliliter right now, even without any sort of symptoms of intoxication, and plenty of us could drive perfectly well under those circumstances. I would much rather see those roadside sobriety tests where you have to, you know, walk the straight line and ride the unicycle and juggle, you know, those kinds of things. But basically, to prove that you've got good psychomotor skills, regardless of what the source might be of any impairment. So, you know, we know that Benadryl is also really bad on these kinds of tasks and really bad for driving. We know that fatigue is really bad on these kinds of tasks and really bad for driving. So I would prefer a behavioral measure to any number of nanograms in urine or blood, and I hope that the federal government will listen when I say so.
Well, speaking of your say-so, our follow-up in the chat room was, how would you love to come to Central Oregon, beautiful Bend, Oregon area, mountains and skiing, and maybe spend some time in Bend before you go testify in Salem to this effect, to let our legislators know these things?
Well, if anybody wants to email me the dates, I'm happy to do it. I've also done that by phone in both Alaska and California, and I'd be happy to do it if it would be a help.
All right. Well, good question from the chat room then. Let's get to some of our other topics that we have collected over the past couple weeks. There was a story about, I think this was a follow-up on another one of these studies that's just pretty silly, but the idea that heavy teen marijuana use may cut your life short by age 60. Doc, I'm 48, man. I don't know. I ain't got much time left, I guess.
And a mere 8 years for me, yes. What's funny about that is that's a data set that they've been following, you know, over the years, and I admire these longitudinal studies. But as it turns out, in that sample, cannabis use is kind of a proxy for essentially being poor. And so these folks also have not necessarily the best medical care, not necessarily the most education, not necessarily the kinds of jobs that are the ones that make it easy for you to live a long time. And so I'm afraid this is really just a proxy for those things, not necessarily an effect of cannabis itself.
Yeah, that's and it's a shame the way the media will twist that and make it seem as if the cannabis is going to reduce your IQ, reduce your income, and kill you by 60. It sounds so depressing. Let's get to another one of these stories out there. There's a lot of, you know, as marijuana becomes more legal, and Keith Strop wrote a great column about this, about how there's this bent toward over-regulation now, kind of a reflex of, or an aftershock maybe, from the landslide legalization that we've seen. And one of these attacks have been against women, particularly pregnant women. And this story from Green Rush Daily says that cannabis use could lead to premature birth, a new study suggests. And what can we tell our listeners, particularly women, about this study?
I got to admit, I'm apprehensive about cannabis use during pregnancy. But again, I feel like this is just a proxy for low income, not necessarily the very best prenatal care, not necessarily the kind of money to afford the best prenatal vitamins and things like that. So, you know, if I say you can smoke pot while you're pregnant, they're going to nail me to a cross on the cover of People magazine. But in truth, I don't feel like these data are particularly impressive. Nancy Day had published something suggesting an increase in the probability of the baby ending up in the NICU and things like that. But again, I don't think it's cannabis per se. In the animal literature, we're not seeing anything happen with the pups, with the offspring, until you get to just outrageous doses. And so I feel like, yeah, they're great anti-nausea drugs if you're nauseated during pregnancy. And, you know, cannabis is not necessarily great for the period during gestation. But let's not put people in jail simply because of that.
And let's not dissuade mothers from getting prenatal care and medical care, being afraid that the drug test is going to lead to a misdemeanor charge for child endangerment or something like that.
That is just unconscionable. I can't believe anybody would threaten a woman with something like that.
Yeah. All right. There's an interesting story I saw that said, yes, you can be allergic to marijuana. And I figure, yeah, I guess people could be allergic to pretty much anything, but how prevalent is this?
What's curious is we're just beginning to get some of the estimates. I think some of those cases that we had heard about earlier in the year about that cannabis alleged cyclic emesis, you know, throwing up business may have stemmed from this. And when I look at some of the, basically hops, some of the other plants that are loosely related to cannabis, the right around the 1% mark, we are seeing some folks who generally are allergic. It's obviously not like the pollens we get in a whole lot of other areas, but something to keep in mind. Obviously, if cannabis makes you sneeze or throw up, it's not the drug for you.
As a tangent to that, I was in Georgia and met a woman who's got a severe peanut allergy. I'm thinking that Georgia's not the state you want to be, but still, she's got this severe peanut allergy that lands her in the hospital, you know, severe anaphylactic shock. You know, after I went to the Five Guys to get a burger, I had to make sure to wash my hands up to the elbows before, you know, seeing her and touching her, right? And so what is up with these peanut allergies? Because I don't ever recall when I was younger hearing a whole lot about this. Has it become more prevalent? And if so, why?
It's curious because my very first family therapy supervisor had this allergy, and if we'd all go out for lunch, that was a big issue. In part, awareness has increased, but also, and I know Louis C.K. does a big jocular set about this, in part because we're so more aware of it, more children are born with it and get to live to adulthood in order to basically pass it on to subsequent generations. So we are seeing a little bit of an elevation in that rate, and it is super serious.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't mean to ridicule the people who actually have this, but it is increase in awareness and a slight increase in prevalence. over the last 40 years.
Fascinating stuff. All right. One of the sad bits of news that we got recently came out of Colorado, where the statistics showed an increase in the disproportionate arrest of teenagers based on race. Minorities, it got worse, basically, after legalization. What does this tell us? I mean, and does this hand, you know, Kevin Sabet kind of a victory? Because he's often said that, you know, hey, legalization is not going to fix racism.
I gotta admit, I am super heartbroken about this. Literally shed a tear when I saw these data. And though total arrests are down, it's still this disparate burden on both African-American folks and Latinos. And I'm afraid this is suggesting that some of the habits that these folks do lead them to be arrested more often, or in fact, there's a bias among law enforcement officers. When I interview law enforcement officers about this, they say, look, these are the people who are dealing outside. I'm much more likely to catch them. White people have more money and seem to go inside the house when they're making their deals. I find that a little hard to believe, but I want to encourage everybody of African descent and Latinos to by all means, only purchase cannabis in a setting that can be as safe as possible.
Yeah, it's so much work left to be done, even as we continue to legalize and arrest fewer people overall. Let's not ignore the good part of this, that, you know, far fewer people of all races got arrested overall. But yeah, it seems to me that, you know, there is a kernel of truth to that, that there's a systemic racism that's involved here that's beyond it just being drug crimes. Because you'll look at things like death penalty cases, for example. Black people get death penalty far more often. And any other sorts of cases, larceny or burglary, whatever, it's always a worse situation if you're minority. We'll continue to look at it.
Rosalie Pachula made that same point. So you're on the same seat as the economics folks from RAND.
Yeah. All right. Well, Dr. Mitch, thanks for joining us. And remember, folks, you can always email Dr. Mitch at 420research@gmail.com, 420research@gmail.com. Thanks, Dr. Mitch, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, Russ.
All right. When we come back, we will have my presentation at the Northwest Cannabis Classic in Alaska, Marijuana and Your Civil Liberties, starting in the Radical Rant and extending into Hour 2. We're back right after this.
This is the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
Is shooting past 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit. It's burning up.
I'm afraid for this little guy, it's just too late.
What caused the problem?
Only Dr. Dabber can maintain the perfect temperature for a smooth-tasting, slower burn. This standard vaporizer lost all of its health benefits, sending it up in smoke.
So you're telling me that most vapor pens burn so hot they produce smoke, not vapor?
Correct. Keep away from those standard vaporizer pens and turn to Dr. Dabber. Doctor's orders.
Less heat, more flavor.
You're not high. You're listening to the Russ Belville Show on CannabisRadio.com.
We need to build a wall.
Okay, maybe you're high too.
Growing green to generate more green.
Hello to all you happy herbalizers, smiling trippy hippies, and everyone who believes in freedom and tolerance. This is The Grow Show, and I'm Kyle Cushman.
From food to fuel, from remedy to resource.
Welcome my guest, Ed Rosenthal, the guru of ganja. Let me ask you, right now I hear your lighter clicking. Are you smoking indoor, or are you smoking sun-grown?
What am I smoking? I'm smoking concentrate.
Way to get out of the answer there. So you're truly like the king, right? You just clap your hands and somebody brings you a bowl and you're all set, right?
I wish that were the case.
The Grow Show with Kyle Cushman, only on CannabisRadio.com.
Hey everybody, it's Radical Russ here from 420 Radio, inviting you to be like me and get your ink done at Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo, Fort Worth's most female-friendly, clean, sterile, awesome tattoo shop. Thomas and his crew are true artists who can design you a custom piece or use a design you bring in. Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo also offers all styles of tattooing as well as piercings and all-around fun. In the DFW area, stop by Lucky Horseshoe Tattoo and tell them Radical Russ sent you. Trust me, it'll feel awesome.
We'll be right back.
must wage what I have called total war against public enemy number one.
I support a change in law to end federal criminal penalties for possession of up to 1 ounce of marijuana.
That marijuana, pot, grass, whatever you want to call it, is probably the most dangerous drug.
Some think there won't be room for them in jail. We'll make room.
I experimented with marijuana a time or two, and I didn't like it, and didn't inhale.
And one major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Radical Rant.
All right. Good day, tokers and tokettes and non-toking lovers of liberty. It is Sunday, May 15th, 2016, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. My name is Russ Belville. I'm with CannabisRadio.com. I host the live daily talk radio program, The Russ Belville Show, which is the NPR of POT. We are news, analysis, information, opinion, interviews, and more. And today my presentation is entitled, It's Not About Marijuana, It's About Freedom. And the idea here is marijuana prohibition is not only unconstitutional, but it also affects almost all of our civil liberties. CannabisRadio.com is available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Stitcher. We've got a lot of great programs out there for growers, for enthusiasts, for activists, reformers, researchers. Tommy Chong's got a program on Cannabis Radio. And of course, my program, The Russ Belville Show, is heard live every weekday at 2 o'clock Alaska time, I should say. You can pick it up online live, or you can listen to it as a podcast through iTunes. And we give you the latest news and information, give you the latest interviews, and I travel all across the country giving you kind of the flavor of what's going on in legalization. So what I'd like to start with is the idea that marijuana prohibition itself is fundamentally un-American. There is no legitimate reason why our government should be banning marijuana in any form whatsoever, especially if you take a look back at history and you take a look at our Enlightenment era founding fathers. This was an era when they were championing reason and logic above emotion and tradition. So it's not just unconstitutional for us to be banning marijuana use by adults. It contravenes our natural rights. The natural rights that our Constitution recognizes were endowed not by a king, not by a legislature, but by our Creator. In our Declaration, we state, we hold these truths to be self-evident. Self-evident. They need no defense. They need no proof. These truths are self-evident that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights. And a right being unalienable means that no government, no law, no legislature can repeal that right. It is an inherent right in the people, in the citizens. That among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Note the phrase, among these. These three aren't the only ones that are unalienable. These are just the first three that we mentioned. But there are plenty of other unalienable natural rights. And notice also that it's the pursuit of happiness. There's not a right to happiness. You merely, as a citizen, as an adult, have the right to pursue happiness as you see fit. So, among these rights, could the right to cannabis be one of those unalienable rights? And I'm going to make the argument that indeed it is. The right to cannabis in America for American adults is an unalienable right. First of all, take into account that our founders were a bunch of hemp farmers. The foundation of our colonies in the early 1600s was preceded by the English Navy defeating the Spanish Armada in 1588, and there was tens of thousands of acres of hemp being used on those ships for rigging and for sails. So the American people were founded by and dependent on this industrial hemp. In 1632, the Virginia Assembly ordered, quote, that every planter, as soon as he may, provide seed of flax and hemp and sow the same. So the first colonies in the very beginning of this country were being ordered to grow hemp. Virginians at the time, the Virginia colony, could pay their taxes
with hemp, as well as other cash crops. And finally, the British Parliament, even we were still being ruled by the British, was providing bounties for hemp growing. So they were promoting the growing of hemp in the colonies to help the British Navy, to help all of the needs there for Britain. Got a nice lithograph there of George Washington overseeing his slaves at Mount Vernon. So much for the all men are created equal part. However, when we look back at that early founding fathers era, a lot of times people in the marijuana movement will try to take some quotes to determine that the founding fathers had actually consumed cannabis like we do, you know, by smoking it for mind-altering purposes. Now, at the time of the founding of this country, it was well known that there were psychoactive effects from hemp. It goes back to the Greeks burning hemp seed and the Chinese using it as medicine. But it really wasn't used that way in the early colonial times, for which we can find verifiable records. At the time, hemp was far more valuable. It was far more valuable to grow hemp than to try to take the time to grow cannabis for the use of medicine or psychoactive purposes. Besides, they had access to opium in those times. So when they needed a painkiller, they had, you know, much greater ammo, so to speak. And we don't find any colonial era references to marijuana or hashish use in the colonies. We do find some when they talk about France, when they talk about Europe. It was kind of a hashish vogue that happened in the late 1700s, but not so much in the colonies. And maybe that owes to the fact it was kind of a hard scrabble life in the colonies. Not a lot of time for luxury and enjoying hemp in that way. But it's not that our founding fathers weren't partiers. These guys were heavy duty partiers. This is an engraving of Washington's farewell to his officers. It was describing the evening of September 14th, 1787. And these guys were into cider and ale and wine, and they were heavy-duty partiers. The bar tab for Washington's farewell address, 55 guys at the party, came to over 15,000 of today's dollars. It included 54 bottles of Madeira, 60 bottles of claret, 8 bottles of Old Stock, 22 bottles of porter, 8 bottles of cider, 12 kegs of beer, 7 large bowls of punch. And then for the musicians, another 16 bottles of claret, 5 bottles of Madeira, and 7 bowls of punch. And this is in our founding records. You can find this in the Library of Congress. So you run up a $15,000 bar tab trying to start a country. It kind of suggests to me that these guys had this idea that it was okay to get yourself altered. It was okay to have fun as an adult. So does the fact that we have hard-drinking, hemp farming founding fathers, does that mean we have a right to use cannabis? Natural right. Well, let's take a look at some of the other declarations of rights that existed back in the early 1700s. There was a right to consciousness that was defined in the Virginia Declaration of Rights that said, quote, "Religion, or the duty which we owe to our Creator and the manner of discharging it, can be directed only by reason and conviction, not by force or violence, and therefore all men are entitled to the free exercise of religion according to the dictates of conscience." And this is interesting. In the founding of our country, there were a segment of them that were very religious men, but there were another segment of them that were kind of deists, which was an idea that God was a clockmaker. He makes the clock, but once the clock's running, it kind of runs and he doesn't interfere. So there was a lot of fight over the use of the words religion and God, and the founding fathers actually dictated down to creator or to the word creator to try to avoid some of those entanglements. I believe this focus on reason and conviction and conscience, though, tells us the mindset of the founders was that we have the right to our own minds. We have the right to our own consciousness. And in the Boston 1772 right of property, among the natural rights of colonists are first, a right to life, second, a right to liberty, thirdly, the right to property. So we've got hemp farmers who believe there's a right to property and a right to free conscience. And that while the colonies regulated alcohol, they did not ban alcohol. Taverns were the meeting places where our revolutionaries met to be able to form these colonies and form this country. And the excise taxes on alcohol were the first taxes that helped fund the United States of America. So it seems to me that the hard-drinking hemp farming founders would think we probably have a right to grow cannabis. I mean, they knew it had a psychoactive effect. And while they didn't really use it that way, they didn't ban it either. They believed in a freedom of conscience, and they altered their consciousness with alcohol quite a bit. And of course, that part about the pursuit of happiness. I mean, come on. What else would we need to prove that we have the right to cannabis? But as American history unfolds, we take kind of a dark turn. The story of how we managed to go from a bunch of hard-drinking hemp farmers to a country that in the 1900s banned alcohol shows just how much the politics can change and just how much stereotyping and fear-mongering can lead that change. What we saw with alcohol is a lot what we saw with cannabis as well. And I'll make these parallels for you. The beginnings of American temperance start in the mid-1700s. John Adams, who had become president, noted that taverns had become the eternal haunt of loose and disorderly people. And, interestingly enough, he called them the nurseries of our legislators. He made the point that since all the early colonial times they gathered in taverns to make political decisions, some of the early legislators realized, hey, if there were more taverns, and I was like drinking buddies with all these guys in all these taverns, I could get political office.